Well, good morning, Zayo. How are we doing today? Come on, Zayo Church. Good to see you. Those watching online and Overflow, welcome to you guys as well. It's going to be a great day today. It already is. How about that worship? Pretty amazing. I just love our church so much. Just even watching that roll-in that Bender made, it's just that's our church. We are a church that prays, and we are in a series called Prayers of the People. And I'm actually going to extend it another week. Today is week four. I'll go 5 weeks in this series. But I got to tell you, in 2 weeks, we launch our groups ministry, which is called Life Tribes. I'm encouraging you as a pastor of this church to get in a group. I can't stress that enough. I'm telling you, what happens in a group stays in a group, all right? And it's a powerful stuff that happens, and unless it needs to get out. But then, only then does it get out. But it's amazing what happens in a group. I love hearing testimonies every single week, every single time we run a group semester. We do two semesters a year, and we in 2 weeks we'll kick off our fall semester of groups. So encouraging you can go online and see all the groups that are that we have available for you this semester. We have 23 groups. All right, so there's no excuse. You can find one that fits you and one that you would resonate with. So I encourage you to get in a group this semester. We'll continue to talk about that. Two more weeks and we'll launch it. So, but today I do continue this series that we've been in called Prayers of the People. And this is our heart as we start this new semester is just to start it on the right way. I know you might be doing some diet things starting the fall, but we're going to start spiritually the right way. And so hopefully you've enjoyed 21 days of prayer with us and the devotional. Those are still available for you today. But I know for me, I need more prayer in my life. Does anybody else feel the same way? I need some more prayer in my life. And I just think the most powerful is this chance God's given us to pray. And so we've been kind of asking this question each week, but I wonder how your prayer life's going. Do you pray? If you pray, how's that going? If you don't pray, why don't you pray? Do you feel like you know what to pray? And I hope these 21 days have really helped you in your prayer life. I hope the devotional is helping you. I hope this series is helping you. But we truly believe that prayer changes things. I mean, just as Pastor Dustin was talking about, just giving you some testimonies. We don't share enough testimonies with you. They come in every single week. But we are seeing God do some amazing things. And it all happens through prayer because prayer changes things. It shifts environments. So I want to give you the theme verse for our series. It's Ephesians 6:18. It says this, pray in the Spirit in every situation. In every situation. Prayer isn't just a, dear God, help me come through. I need you. Bail me out on this one kind of a thing. Prayer is an everyday, every situation kind of thing. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's not just before your meal because you know you should do that. I don't even know where it says that, but you got to do it. You're just going to pray before you eat your tacos. I'm going to pray in every situation, every kind of thing. When I wake up, when I'm driving to work, when I take my kids to school, I'm going to pray in every situation. And we've kind of given you this mantra, pray first. Pray first. I've even had many people text me this week and weeks previous during this series saying, you know, God's saying, pray first, pray first, pray first. Pray when you wake up, pray before you take the kids to school, pray before you get into work and before you check those phone calls, those emails. Man, pray first and use every kind of prayer request that there is. And this is what we're doing in this series. We're kind of taking a few of the many different prayer and requests that there is. To which you might be saying, I didn't know there were many types of prayers, but when we read people in the Bible who prayed the prayers, they didn't pray prayers for us to recite. They prayed prayers for us to emulate and see as an outline, as a guide for how we are to pray. Now, in the past couple weeks, we looked at the prayer of Moses. We kicked the series off with the prayer of Moses. We looked at this tabernacle prayer. Moses would set up a portable church, and he would pray through seven pieces of furniture, and then finally he was able to meet with God. And we don't have to do that today, but it's a great guide on how to pray. So if you're looking for a model of prayer, what's like a format, how to pray, go and read the prayer of Moses, or you can watch that online. That was week one. And then in week two, I gave you a good prayer to pray. We looked at the prayer of Jabez. Prayer of Jabez was this. He said, God, bless me. And now that you've blessed me, God, give me influence. And now that you've blessed me and you gave me influence, give me your presence. And now that you blessed me and you gave me influence and you gave me your presence, the enemy is after me. God, protect me. It's just a great prayer to pray. It could take you 5 minutes as you're driving to work. That's the prayer of Jabez. In week three, last week, we looked at the prayer of David. We prayed through Psalm 23, this famous psalm. I gave you a model to pray, then a prayer to pray, and last week was a mentality to pray. Just how you pray. We're praying the names of God over our situation. We're declaring these eight covenantal names of God. And then this week, today, I'm going to look at a great mini sermon on prayer from this apostle, the apostle James. James has this great book. It's a great book to read through. It's five easy chapters in the New Testament. But James shows us, he ends these five chapters showing us a great way to pray, a great position we should take when we pray. Like, what are you thinking when you pray? The book of James is so powerful. Five powerful chapters on practical steps of following Jesus. Five practical ways of the faith. Five practical chapters that help you as you walk with the Lord. But then he finishes these five chapters with eight verses where he just kind of shifts everything. He moves from the practical, moves into the spiritual, and he does a little mini sermon on prayer. So today, what I want to do is I want to go through those eight verses as we look at James and we look at this prayer of James. So if you're taking message notes, that's the title of this morning's message, the prayer of James. We looked at the prayer of Moses, Jabez, David. Today is James, and just telling you, next week is Jesus, all right? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for what you're doing here, the testimonies. Thank you that this is a church that prays. Lord, teach us even further today how to pray. Give us the mentality, the thought to take as we go into prayer. Lord, we just ask that you'd be with us as we learn from the prayer of James. In Jesus' name, and all Zayo said, amen. Amen. So James, he gave us five great chapters, and then he ends with these eight verses, a mini sermon on prayer. It's a great outline of a reminder of what we should be thinking as we go to prayer, a mentality that we have when we go to prayer. So I wanted to introduce to you the first four verses, and I want you to note that six times over these four verses, he encourages us to pray. Watch this, James 5, starting verse 13, the end of the book of James. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. And I just got to ask you today, is anybody in trouble? Is anybody in trouble? Are you in trouble today? Are you in trouble in your marriage? Are you in trouble with the law? Are you in trouble in your job? Don't raise your hand. If you're in trouble with your job, your family, maybe you've made some mistakes, you have a pending lawsuit, you have a sickness diagnosis, are you in trouble today? If you're in trouble today, it's not another counseling appointment, and it's not another book to read, it's not more money that's going to solve this problem, it's prayer. Come on, Zayo Church, it's prayer. Y'all can spend your money if you want, it's prayer. I mean, we see our country at times has been in trouble, and our society and culture is in trouble. The only solution to trouble is prayer. Let's pause here to encourage the one who says, okay, Pastor, I do pray, but when I pray, nothing happens. I just don't know if God hears my prayers. I don't know if I know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm praying. I don't really know, Pastor. I don't know if prayer works for me. Well, let me remind you, six times here at the end of the book of James, James encourages you to pray no matter what. So I'm asking you today, no matter what mentality you come with today, maybe you're just kind of over prayer. You're like, bro, we've already done 4 weeks of prayer. We've got to go a fifth week. We're going to extend the series. You know, it's like, I think we've learned on prayer. I think we learned what prayer is all about. We learned how to pray. Let's move on to the next series. Maybe you're just kind of over prayer. Maybe you're just tired of praying. Maybe you don't really know what to pray. Let me give you some fresh perspective today as James leans in on prayer. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And by the way, we offer that here at Zayo. At the end of every service, we call this the altar, the prayer altar. And it might be a churchy name, and it is what it is, but this is our altar. It's so amazing, so fancy. It's like a foot long. That's all you get. We understand it's not the greatest environment here. This building limits us. We understand that, but that's never stopped us from praying. At the end of every service, we have a prayer team that's fully equipped, fully trained to pray over you. They have gone through a training to pray over you and anoint you with oil if you need it, just like the Bible. We're just trying to do what the Bible says to do, y'all. And when we move to our next place, we're going to have a bigger altar. But the point is, we encourage you at the end of every service, if you have a prayer need, don't leave without your family praying over you. We have people who are ready to pray, who are anointed to pray. When they pray, God hears them. By the way, he hears you too. But they know that. They go in with some faith saying, God's going to answer this prayer. So I encourage you, before you leave, every service, if you need prayer, come down at the front, and we'd love to pray for you. But also, we do have a pastoral team and an eldership team that is willing to come to your house and pray over you, or the hospital and pray over you. Whatever that might be for you, we are the church, we are a body of Christ, and we're ready, willing, and able to pray over you. Verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. We believe that. The Lord will raise them up. If you have sinned, they will be forgiven. I believe he's saying here, I've given you over these past five chapters, James is saying, I've given you so much practical advice, so much wisdom for your daily life. And I encourage you to do those things. But there are times that the practical won't solve the problem. There are times that the physical needs an encounter with the supernatural, with the spiritual realm. So I know you've been believing God. I know you've been trying to do some things, but can I encourage you to pray? Prayer changes things. It's powerful. Prayer makes the way for miracles to take place. You got to hear that. Prayer makes the way for miracles to take place. And I love how this says, even on behalf of someone else. I mean, think about your prayer being offered up in faith can actually bring healing to someone else. Isn't that amazing? Your prayers are powerful. Did somebody in your life need prayer? If you pray for them, God will hear your prayers and he will answer. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is the most amazing verse to me in the Bible. This is a fascinating passage because the method that Jesus wants to introduce forgiveness and salvation is through Jesus. But the way that he wants to introduce healing is through people. If you want to be healed today, it's going to take someone else. It's going to take someone else. Now, all this attention on prayer for James, why? Because James realized that you and I, when left to our own devices, have the ability to live a life where we will be dependent upon ourselves and our own abilities. Aren't we all guilty of that? I got this. I can do this. I can power through. I can push through. I can pay the money. I can get there. I can try harder. And James reminds us in this passage that you were not meant to live your life on your own. You were meant to live your life dependent upon God. And we do so through prayer. Here's how I say it. Prayer is the difference between the best I can do and the best that God can do. And by the way, that's a big difference. You can try really, really hard. You can try really, really hard, and maybe you might pull it off. Maybe. But the good news is you don't have to. You don't have to try really, really hard because God wants to pull it off for you. Thank God for prayer. Prayer invites God in and enables God to do what God wants to do. This church was built on prayer. I made this, I want to tell you how the church started, but even when the church did start, every single week we would gather together and we would pray before we were even a church. This church has been built on prayer. And some of you know this story, but I like to tell it, especially if you're new to Zayo, because I don't want you to ever think, like, Zayo, there was just a good idea that I started. I saw a need and I started it. I thought it'd be fun to start a church one day, you know? That's not how this thing started. God spoke this church into existence. I want to tell you how that happened. I had, since before, as long as I can remember, I wanted to plant a church. And when my wife and I were newly married, I remember journaling about planting a church in Austin, Texas. God has always called me to plant a church here, and I always felt that from God. And I get on staff at a big church in Dallas, and I tell them, I want to plant a church. And they said, okay, we're going to have to submit that to me. So I submitted the idea and the dream and the calling of God to plant a church. I submitted it to man. And I said, okay, you are my spiritual authority. You are my oversight. You tell me when I'm ready. But this 20-year-old kept asking, am I ready? Am I ready? 24, I'm 25. Am I ready? Am I ready? I want to go plant a church. 27, 28, am I ready? Am I ready? They kept telling me no. Kept telling me no. It's amazing when you submit something to someone that you trust and they tell you no, how do you respond to that no? Kept telling me no. But I was so submitted, I started to believe that the answer was no. Maybe God doesn't want me to plant a church. I felt like he spoke this to me, but man is telling me no. Well, fast forward to 2016, I had a difficult year, and a mentor of mine came to me and said, the Lord wants to give you a gift. Just like if your kid had a bad day, you want to give them an ice cream cone to make them feel better, the Lord wants to give you a gift. And by the way, it's not money. That was very discouraging to me because I wanted money. And he said, it's not money. I don't know why he threw that a caveat in there, but And instantly I knew it was the church. I knew this thing that we've been dreaming about, the thing that we submitted to our church, that the Lord wanted to begin to speak to us about this church plan. So my wife and I said, okay, 2017, we're going to pray and ask God to confirm that he wants us to go plant this church and that we should go and do this. So we started praying, and in January 1st, we had a first conference. We do the same thing here. We start the new year out with a conference of every night. We'll have prayer and worship. And as a pastor on staff, it was rare for someone to come up and say, hey, I have a word for you. Hey, God wants to tell you something. Can I give you a word? It was rare for that. We welcome that, but usually we're the ones giving the word, not receiving them. But this time was different. A gentleman came up to me and said, the Lord has a word for you. Can I give it to you? I said, of course. He said, the Lord says you're praying about something, and the answer is yes, and the time is now. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
The answer is yes, and the time is now. I mean, imagine getting that word, praying. Like, January 1st, God did not delay. He said, January 1st, I'm going to confirm this to you. But me being the moron that I am, I was like, I need another confirmation. That's not good enough for me. So the Lord sent Pastor Dustin my way. Pastor Dustin and I were on staff at this church together. We didn't know each other super well, but we were in a prayer service, a 5 a.m. prayer service. You want your prayers answered? Go to a 5 a.m. prayer service. We're so late, Travis, we moved it to noon, you know? We're like, bring your margaritas. Just make it noon, you know? Like, it's all good. 5 a.m. prayer service. That's where I learned how to pray, by the way, is this 5 a.m. prayer service. And Pastor Dustin came up to me. It was just a few days after that. I think it was the 3rd of January. He says, the Lord has a word for you. He's never prophesied over me before. He didn't know me that well. He said, there's a dream in your heart, and the Lord says the answer is yes, and the time is now. He confirmed exactly what the other gentleman said. And then he said, there's more. Dustin, don't do that to me. There's more. He said, you have a dream in your heart, and you have put it on a shelf out of obedience. And that's exactly what happened. I submitted it to man. Am I ready? Am I ready? No, 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 no. Am I ready? No, 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 no. I kept getting no. And he said, you submitted this out of obedience, and now the Lord's telling you to take that dream off the shelf. It's time. And if you don't take that dream off the shelf, you're acting in disobedience. So for the first time, God said, it's time. I kept asking if it was time. Man kept saying, no, it's not time. And for the very first time, God says, it's time. It's time. I tell you that story because I want you to really hear me say that this church was not birthed out of, like, I was bored and looking for something to do. You know, I needed to make some money. Like, this thing was birthed out of the Lord. This is a word from God. You got to know that if you want to be here. 7 years I wanted to start my own church, but I had to surrender it to God. And once I did, God was the only one who could set it in motion. Prayer is the difference between doing things on your own power and instead enabling God to do something on his power and do what he wants to do. Letting God be God. Sometimes we think we make a better God, so we want to be God. But prayer is enabling and allowing God to be God. Prayer is what founded this church and what spoke it into being. This is why we pray. This is why it's such a big part. We do 21 days of prayer in the fall and the spring. We have pre-service prayer before every single service. Because why? Because we are dependent upon God, and we just believe that prayer really does work, and it changes things. When you're in trouble or you don't know what to do, James says it's time to pray. So I want to go through this little mini sermon right here from this apostle James and pull out three ideas that will help you when you go to prayer, okay? And you're just going to think about your own prayer life as you go into this. So here's the first thing. Prayer puts my unknown future in the hands of an all-knowing God. You might not know your future, and you might be going to God in prayer today. James is here to encourage you. 5:13, is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Now, there is a problem with a problem. The problem with the problem is not the problem, and that is the problem. The problem is, where is this problem going? Like, what is the outcome of this problem? Is this problem becoming more of a problem? That's the problem. Is it getting worse? Like, think about your marriage. Is your marriage in trouble today? Like, the problem is the fear of the unknown. Like, God, I don't know how this marriage is going to end up. I don't know if they're going to leave me. I don't know if there is a way forward. That's the problem. There's this element of the unknown that appears to be a problem. That's what scares us. The problem in the situation that you're facing is the unknown. Maybe you have a sickness diagnosis. It's the unknown. You don't know how this thing's going to end up. But I've learned that people don't trust in God that they cannot see. They want to have control. They want to know. It's hard to trust God when you don't have control. But that's exactly when you need to trust God, in the unknown, when you don't have control. But many people don't have the confidence that God is truly at work in something that they know nothing about. Again, they want to be in control. But we serve an all-knowing God. He knows all things, especially the unknown. That's why Jesus came to us in Matthew and said this, Matthew 6, verse 31, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows what you need, knows that you need them. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I have been in many situations as a pastor and a husband and a friend and a dad where I was worried. I didn't know the outcome. I didn't know the future. I didn't see a way forward. So I prayed. I'm kind of guilty of that. Why is prayer always the last result, not the first response? But I've been challenged many times in life where I didn't see a way forward, so I prayed. But when I prayed, here's what happened. The outcome might not have changed, but something changed inside of me. Prayer has the power to change outcomes, but more importantly, church, it has the power to change what's on the inside of you. Prayer eliminates worry. It eliminates stress. It eliminates fear. It puts it in the hands of God. James reminds us of that. So prayer puts the unknown future in the hands of an all-knowing God. But then he goes on. Here's another idea he gives us. Prayer puts my hopeless situation, maybe you're facing one today, in the hands of an all-powerful God. So you might be in trouble, and you're going to pray, but even if you don't see a way forward, God is going to give you peace through that situation. And not only do we place our faith in what we do not see and do not understand, which we're asked to do, but we do so because we trust an all-knowing God. James 5, 14 and 15 says this, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they had sinned, they will be forgiven." I don't know about you, but maybe you face a situation in your life where you just didn't see a way out. Maybe you're facing one today. It's just hopeless. There's no way this will be fixed. There's no way this will be healed. I can't see a way out of my situation. Might be your health, your marriage, your emotions, your profession, your finances. You may think today, man, this is just too late. What's done is done. There's just no hope for me. Well, I got to tell you, it's never too late for a God who can raise the dead. Amen. 3.5 people believe that. He's all powerful. He raised the dead. Romans 4, 18 to 22, even when there was no reason for hope, maybe you feel that way today. Abraham, this great man of faith, he kept hoping. Maybe that's a word for you today. It's time to keep hoping, but all hope is lost. Great, keep hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. He was believing God for that which he was praying for. For God has said to him, God gave him a word in the past. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though time had passed. Even though about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb, his wife. Abraham never wavered in believing in God's promise. Maybe that's for you today. You're wavering. You're failing in your belief. Never waver in God and his promise. In fact, his faith actually grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. God gets glory when you do not waver in faith. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted to him as righteousness. I don't know what you're going through today, but if you don't have faith, borrow it from Abraham, who had no reason to hope, but hoped anyways, who was fully convinced that God was able to do that which he was believing God to do. Let me ask you a question today. Are you fully convinced God is able to do what you are praying about? Are you fully convinced? Are you fully convinced? You see, when you pray, you must know that God is fully capable. He's fully able to do what you're asking him to do, even if it seems impossible. In just a few short weeks here, October 5th, it's Vision Sunday. I'm so excited about Vision Sunday. Once a year, we come to you with a Vision Sunday, and we just kind of tell you about where Zayo's been and where we're going, and we give you critical updates pertaining to the future. And so on October 5th, we're going to give you some big updates on the build and what we're doing with the build down the road. We're going to give you some updates on the For the Kingdom campaign, and most importantly, we're going to give you some updates on the barn. It's a Sunday you won't want to miss, but I want to tell you just, I'll give a little teaser today, one little thing that we'll talk about at Vision Sunday, but it works well in my message, so I'm just going to use it today. We have been working tirelessly on all aspects of the build. We have an incredible building committee that works really hard to accomplish what God's asked us to do here in this area. And they've just done a phenomenal job, and they have been meeting with our architects, our civil engineers, our contractors, and our lenders, and the city, and the county, just all aspects. And they have been working hard, and a big piece of this was the barn. By the way, the barn and the build have been in permitting. And if you know anything about building in Travis County, that's where dreams go to die, okay? That's like, like, no one knows. And every single person who's in construction, they're like, oh, just, they don't even, that's all they give me is permitting is going to be really bad. Like, just get ready. Like, that's what everyone's encouragement is, although it's not encouraging at all. But when a county has control of the permitting, they control it all. There's absolutely nothing you can do. Our build is in permitting and will be in permitting for a while, we suspect. But the barn has been in permitting for over a year. And it just to be transparent, like, it started to become very hopeless for me. We've casted this vision. We've believed in it. Our lenders love it. Everyone loves it. The barn, we're going to the Big Red Barn. And I start thinking, man, what if we don't go to the Big Red Barn? Is this going to happen? It's in permitting, and it requires so much from the county. And so I got to be honest, we started to look at backup options. Like, what if we go to different places? We've looked at different buildings. We started to wonder, what if this doesn't work out? What if we go to another place? And that's why you haven't heard an update recently, because it's just in permitting, and how boring, you know? And there's nothing to update. Hey, guess what? Another week, we're in permitting. You know, there's your update. You know, I should have done that every week. But I didn't want to be depressed every week, so I didn't give that to you. I didn't have any reason for hope, but I did hope anyways. We just kept, with faith, believing that this will work out. We prayed, we trusted it in the hands of God, because we realized it's better in his hands than in my hands, or certainly in the hands of Travis County. Our hopeless situation truly was in the hands of a powerful God. And after a year of waiting for permits, I got to tell you, the barn permit is finally in. And even better news, they start construction this month. I know you're hot. I'm sweating like a pig up here, okay? Like, I know you're hot, and this is amazing, and we have 1.5 bathrooms. But the barn is upon us, you guys. We are starting construction. Frank and his team have worked really, really hard. I got to thank Frank Davis and his team for working hard on this. They've done a great job. Little spoiler alert. So we'll give you more updates on October 5th, and we'll give you dates. We're excited about our move to the barn that's coming. Here's where I'm at. Now that we've gone through what we did, I am fully convinced that God is going to have his way one way or another. He is fully in control. Why? Because he's an all-powerful God. I just can't help but wonder what he thought about me when I'm worried and I'm scared and I'm looking at backup options. He's like, you're the pastor of that church? You know, like, we should find someone else, you know? Like, he's an all-powerful God. He proves himself every single time. I know for you, your situation might look hopeless. I know the process you're going through might seem terrible. But can I remind you today that God is powerful? He can and he will do what he promises to do. So prayer puts our unknown future in the hands of an all-knowing God. It puts our hopeless situation in the hands of an all-powerful God. And here's the third one. Prayer puts my broken life in the hands of an all-forgiving God. James 5:15-16. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, which begs the question, then who among us is righteous? If there's a righteous person here, they need to pray because God's going to hear their prayer. So who's righteous? You ready for it? The Bible says no one. None of you are righteous. No, not one. Even doubles down. You're not righteous. ... No, not one. Like, none of us are righteous. Well, that's not good. Because we just read a scripture that says God answers the prayer of a righteous person. Well, we are not righteous. Here's the good news on our own. You can become righteous, though, through Jesus. The righteous become righteous by allowing God to right the wrongs. So how do we become righteous and how do we get our wrongs made right? 2 Corinthians 5:21, in Christ, it's through Jesus. God put the wrong, your sin, your trespasses, the wrongs you've done in life, God puts the wrong on Jesus, who was perfect, who never did anything wrong, the spotless lamb. Why? So that we could be made right with God. Amen. And that's available for you today. This is one of the best things about God is that he takes your bad, he takes your ugly, he takes your worst day, and he gives you right. He makes you right. He makes you good, makes you righteous, makes you in right standing with God, meaning that before Christ, when God looked at you, you were unrighteous. You were out of standing. You were out of good standing with God. Now, through Jesus, God looks at you. He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your mistakes. He sees that you are right. You are right. Without Jesus, you've done some things. And fellowship with God was broken because of our sin, which makes us unrighteous. However, with Jesus, he takes away our wrongs and makes us in right standing with God. And now our fellowship with God is restored. That's salvation. This is what happens to you when you give your life to God. It's the best deal you can ever make. This is the prayer of James. He reminds us that no matter where you're at today, God is a forgiving God who loves you and he's made a way for you. So I love those few verses right there. James 13:5-13, 14:15-16. Four verses right there, just a little mini sermon on prayer. And then James transitions and starts talking about the greatest prophet that ever lived, the prophet Elijah. But here's the thing, he's in a little mini sermon series on prayer. So this has everything to do with prayer. Watch this as he goes on to the next four verses, the final four verses of James, starting verse 17. He just gave this great sermon on prayer. Then he says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Which to the average, I might seem like that's out of context. Like, why is he talking about Elijah? But I love that he put this in here because it's exactly what you and I are thinking. You and I are probably thinking prayer is for the prophets. Prayer for the uber godly people, like the super saved, super spiritual people. But James here is saying, Elijah prayed, and Elijah was a human just like you, and God answered the prayers of Elijah, and God can answer your prayers as well. If it works for them, it can work for you as well. The greatest prophet to have ever lived, who did some amazing things, was a human being just like you and I. This is important for you and I to understand because anything that he was capable of doing, you were capable of doing. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. This was his prayer. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain. And the earth produced its crops. Anything that he prayed, you could pray as well. This isn't my notes, but I'm just remembering you stood up here a couple years ago and were calling to the Pernalis River to fill up. And now look at it, right? When I think about Elijah and the point that James is trying to illustrate here, it's this. So it's not only important to pray. You need to pray. Yes, you need to pray. But more importantly, it's important to understand and believe that God hears your prayers and he's going to answer you. Like, do you have faith that your prayers will be heard by God? I mean, if you didn't think that your prayers would work, my question is, why would you pray? What are you thinking when you pray? Are you thinking God's going to answer my prayer? Are you thinking, God, I hope you answer my prayer? What are you thinking when you pray? Notice that Elijah didn't, I love this, he didn't pray once and give up, which many of us are probably guilty of doing. The Bible says that he prayed again. that which you're praying for that you haven't seen come to fruition yet? Have you prayed again for it? Have you kept praying until your prayer was answered? I know I'm guilty of praying once, not seeing my prayer answer, and then complaining to God that he never answered my prayer. Anybody else? Or just the pastor of the church? Anybody else? Elijah prayed again. I want to show you the story. I know you've prayed, but be like Elijah. Watch this. Pray again. 1 Kings 17:1. Now, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." This is his prayer. He's praying about this. Now, this is when the 3.5 years of no rain began. But it didn't rain. It didn't not rain because Elijah said it wasn't. It didn't rain because God told Elijah it wouldn't. Elijah, this is important, had a word from God that it would not rain. He was carrying around this word from God. So in those first four verses, I gave you three ideas from James on this idea of prayer. But now I want to give you three ideas on why having faith matters when you pray. So watch this. We're going to learn from Elijah here. Here's the first thing. Faith begins with a word. Faith begins with a word. As we're praying, faith begins with a word. Well, begs the question, how do you get a word? Can you buy one? Like, is there a story you can go to? Or is there a person you can go to? Like, how do I get a word? Are you ready for it? You get a word by getting in the word. You get a word by getting in the word. If you want your faith to grow, you need a word. And you get a word by getting in the word. And when you get in the word, your faith grows. Are you ready for this? Because if you're not, let me ask you this. Are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? I've been asking you every week, are you praying? I'm your pastor. I'm your friend. Okay? I love you. Are you reading your Bible? Because if you're not, then you're not going to have faith. And if you don't have faith, those prayers that you're praying, they're not going to work. And if your prayers don't work, then guess what? It's all up to you. Good luck. But if you don't want it to be all up to you, you need to pray. And if you pray and have faith, then you will get what God wants to do in your life, and God's going to answer your prayers. But it all stems from reading your Bible. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do you get faith? By listening to the Word of God. Some of you lack faith today because you're not in the Word of God. Can I encourage you in every season, every obstacle, every season of life, get a word from God on that season. This is some great practical advice for you. In the good seasons, the bad seasons, get a word from God for that season. Are you in a season today? Ask God why you're in that season. Get a word for the season. I promise you, if you do that, you might get out of that season quicker than you thought. If you're in a difficult season, get a word from God. Find out what God is doing in this season. When we do that, we put purpose to the pain. We put purpose to the problem. Allow God to speak to you about the season you're going through. I remember when this church was established through those words of God. I had words from God, and it kept on being confirmed and confirmed. I was brought up before church, several churches, and they would prophesy. Prophets would come in and prophesy over me and about the future of Zayo. Didn't even know me. I had tangible words from God that I can hold on to. You know why that was important for me? Because I'm human, and there were many times I wanted to quit. Many times I said, I don't know if I'm cut out to pastor this church. I don't know if I can do this. But you know why I kept on going? Because I had a word from God. It's amazing what will change in your life if you have a word from God for the season you're going through. You actually might be able to get through that season that you're in. Thank you, Mimi. We do this as a family. At the beginning of every year, my wife and I, we pray together for a word for the year. We do this. We encourage you to do this in January. If you didn't do it in January, you could do it in fall. Pray for a word from God for the fall. Try that out. You and your wife go in different places. You pray, get a word from God. You come together, share what God's speaking to you. Whoever's more spiritual, use that word, okay? That's just, for me, it's always my wife. Like, we'll go with your word. My word was not that good. Why? Because faith begins with a word from God. You got to get a word. Get a word for the season. Ask God, why am I in this season? Have him speak that to you. Back to Elijah, 1 Kings 18:41. Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink. For there, remember he's praying for rain, there is a sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. This is my favorite part of the sermon. Ahab, who was praying and believing God for the same thing, he went on with his life. Elijah didn't. Ahab wanted the same thing Elijah wanted, rain. But Ahab was not prepared to do what Elijah was prepared to do, to see his prayers answered. This is the posture that some of us need to take right here. We need to put our head down, and we need to pray. Are you prepared to do what no one else is prepared to do to see your prayers answered? I must not be making sense, because that is your kids are in trouble, and you want to read a book, listen to a podcast, complain to your teachers, get our advice, go to a counselor. Are you prepared to go away for an entire day and seek God for your child? Your marriage is in trouble? Let's just complain about it. Let's just gossip to our friends and talk trash about our spouses. That's really working for us. And we go, God, why aren't you fixing my marriage? Went to church once. Come on, God, you owe me. Are you prepared to do what no one else is prepared to do to save your marriage? Elijah got away with God. He put his face between his legs. Ahab ran away, went on with his life. He believed God because he was ready to do something that no one else was ready to do. Faith begins with the word. Here's the second thing. Faith builds. Man, my ribs hurt. Faith builds. Got excited about that one. It's locked up. Faith builds when we don't give up. I think we give up too quickly on God. And as I was writing this message, I just felt like God prompted me. There's someone in here who's ready to give up. I don't know on what, but God says you're ready to give up. And the Lord says, don't give up. And if you don't give up, your faith in God will build up. Don't give up, because if you don't give up, your faith in God will build up. Watch what Elijah does, 1 Kings 18:43. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and he looked. There is nothing there. He's praying. Nothing there yet. No sign of a storm. And he said, seven times, Elijah said, go back. Listen, this is great. I know you don't have the answer to your prayer yet. Go back and pray again. I know you don't have your healing yet. Go back and pray again. I know you don't have your restoration yet. Go back and pray again. You don't have the answer to your prayer yet. Go back and pray again. I know you've prayed several times. Go back and pray again. Verse 44, the seventh time, the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. And it's only because he went back, by the way. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariots and go down before the rain stops. There is a monsoon that's coming in the shape of a man's hand, this tiny cloud in the sky. Elijah knew it because he prayed and he believed God and he had faith. Hebrews says it this way, chapter 10, verse 36, you need to persevere. That's a word for someone right there. Keep praying. Keep fighting. Keep believing. Keep having faith. Don't give up. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, the prayer request is coming. In just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Verse 38, but my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and who are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Have faith, church, that God hears your prayers. And when you don't see the answer to your prayers, you go again, you pray again, you go back. 1 Kings 18:45, the story continues. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black, and clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Remember, it's been 3.5 years. So Ahab rode away to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel, which I think is a funny passage. He outran the chariots. Pretty amazing story, actually. But when you have faith, it builds up. So don't give up. Here's the third thing. We'll wrap it up with this. Faith breaks through the natural into the supernatural. That's what we're praying, isn't it? To see the supernatural break into the natural. To which a lot of people, they just go, there's no way this is going to happen. I don't believe that this can happen. It's just, this is too far gone. We're in too much trouble. They've already said this. The lawyers responded with this. It's not going to happen. Well, with man, Jesus says with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible, Matthew 19:26. Of course it's supposed to be impossible, because you're not God. God wants to come through on your behalf. He loves to operate in the impossible. He's God. So we go through the whole book of James, go through this mini sermon that he ends with these final thoughts on prayer. James 5:19-20. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. What's he saying here? He talked on a great practical stuff about being in the faith. He talks on prayer, talks about Elijah, and then he ends with this. He's saying this, like, I know you're praying, you're believing God, and I hope those things get answered. And I'm hoping for your impossible situation that it gets resolved. And I'm hoping you get some confidence in God. And I know you're praying, and I'm believing with you. But what happens if your prayers don't get answered? James is saying right here, the most important thing of all of this is not that your prayers are answered. I don't know how that comes across. But the most important thing here is not that God answers what you're asking him to do, because God's not a genie in the bottle. The most important thing here is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Not that your prayers are answered, but that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. I think this is so powerful. James concludes this entire book talking about salvation. You can pray and God will answer. But if you really want God to answer your prayers, tell someone about Jesus. Receive Jesus yourself, and God will take care of the rest. So church, don't stop praying. Don't lose the faith. Remember this mini sermon from James. Here's the point. Prayer is the difference in the best that I can do and the best that God can do. Trust God. Do you trust God? Is God able? Are you convinced that he is able? I want to pray for you right there, right where you're at. Just go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to pray for you. But first, I'm going to have you pray for yourself. I'm going to see if God will speak to you. You get your own word from God in this moment. We're talking about getting a word from God. God wants to give you one right now if you'll just listen to him. Ask God, God, what are you saying to me through this message? And see what he says. Lord, I just feel like you're expanding our faith today. You've showed us ways to pray, mentalities to pray. Just today, you're expanding our faith that you're actually going to do what we're praying and believing you to do. I didn't put you in a box that you have to answer our prayers, but we're going to have the faith that that which we're praying for, you're going to answer. So Lord, I'm just praying for those marriages that are in trouble today. We're believing that they will be restored. I'm praying for those that need healing today, God. I'm just believing that their bodies will be restored today. Lord, we're asking for some big things, some important things, some life-changing things, Lord. And I'm just asking for you to come through, and we're believing that you are able. We're believing that you are able, that you're willing, God. Expand our faith today. And we thank you for that. I want to pray for those who have never received Jesus. I'm going to give you a chance to be in right standing with God. Maybe you're not in right standing today. Maybe you feel that way, like I'm on the totally opposite side of God. The Bible says he sent Jesus to make you in right standing with God, just like I talked about. For those who believe in him, they will be saved. So I want to give you an opportunity to believe upon Jesus, to be in right standing with God today. If that's you, just pray this prayer to God. Say, God, today I come to you. I'm a sinner. I'm wrong. And I come to you to make me right. Forgive me for my sins. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. And in so doing, making me right with you, God. I receive Jesus today. I take on the faith of Jesus and I live as Jesus would. Change me and make me new. I give you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Can we pray or celebrate those who prayed that prayer?